You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Bang! Pow! It's Get Action, The Wire's weekly check-in with Action Station Aotearoa.
Though recently Luxon has joined with other world leaders in supporting a ceasefire in Gaza, many have called for the New Zealand government to take further action. Member of the Palestinian community, Katrina Mitchell-Kotab, has started a petition calling for New Zealand to live up to its international obligations. We talked about why it's important for the government to support Palestine and where people can learn more about this cause.
What does your petition propose?
So the petition is asking the New Zealand government to comply with its international legal obligations in preventing or stopping genocide or the possibility of genocide occurring. It needs, as a member state and a signatory to the 1948 Geneva Convention and the Genocide Convention, to step in and say what Israel is doing is possibly causing genocide in Gaza because of the huge humanitarian toll that has taken place, and it needs to stop. And so that involves calling a ceasefire. But to date, the New Zealand government has asked for a humanitarian pause. And at the same time as asking for this humanitarian pause, it's continued to support Israel in its warfare against Gaza by stating that it supports Israel's right to defend itself. So there are two questions here that we're really concerned about. The first one is the idea of a humanitarian pause. So in warfare, you can call for a humanitarian pause in order to help civilians so that they don't get caught up in a war. But the humanitarian pause is what it states. It is just a pause in the warfare to enable those civilians to seek more shelter or to find help if they need medicine or what have you. But in this particular case, as we now see in the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, and as the world has seen live on their screens, on social media, we've seen a genocide occurring. So a humanitarian pause is not going to help civilians that are the actual target of Israelis' aggression. And a humanitarian pause, as we have seen, what did it do? It did exactly what we were scared of, saying, well, let's just have a little break, give them a little bit of food, and then we'll continue killing them. So it's completely immoral, completely unjust, and it was terrifying for the world to watch a lot of the Western governments supporting these illegal and monstrous actions. Secondly, what the government's done is it's misled the New Zealand people using international law in a way that it's not the truth. So when you state the Universal Charter, Section 51 under the UN Charter, the Section 51 states that any country, any state has the ability and the right to defend itself. And that's true for every single country. However, there are special circumstances when this does not apply. And in this case, as you will see in the upcoming years in regards to the South African case against Israel for its war crimes against Palestinians, if there is a country that is occupying, illegally occupying another territory or a country, and under the ICC, Israel has been called out for illegally its occupation, 50-year occupation of the Palestinian territories after the Six-Day War in 1967, and that name alone should give you a hint, a Six-Day War against two other countries. Israel was supposed to withdraw, and it didn't. So over these 50 years, it's been illegally and brutally occupying Palestinian territory, including the West Bank and Gaza. And it has not withdrawn. So when you have an occupying power, an illegal occupying power, going into somebody else's territory, it does not have the right to self-defense. Now, if you said that Russia attacking Ukraine had the right to self-defense when Ukraine was attacking back, you would have been shot down internationally. And that's exactly what has occurred with our government. It has misrepresented international law by stating very clearly from the outset that Israel, in this situation, had the right to self-defense when it didn't. More importantly, what our government failed to do was to act on behalf of the Palestinian state, and we have never heard from the government any suggestion that Palestine has the right to self-defense. And unfortunately, in this circumstance, it does have the right under Section 51 to fight back against an aggressor. No one, and especially the Palestinians, we all understand what it means when civilians are killed, because my family has been killed. Many of our people have been massacred over the years, that massacre beginning in 1948 with the 500 villages that were razed to the ground by the Zionists that started the Israeli state. None of us condemn any civilian killings, and we do not support Hamas killing civilians. But why is Hamas not allowed to defend its territory and to defend Palestinians? The government has said that Israel is allowed to use its self-defense as long as it abides by international law. So why has it not given Hamas the same right, particularly in this situation when context is everything? So our government again has failed to address the context of this war. They very quickly, Hipkins and Luxon, called out the atrocities that Hamas committed on October the 7th. Within a matter of days, they called out Hamas as terrorists. They were brutal. This was disgusting. The language they used was extremely strong. And within the same sentence, they said, oh, but Israel, it must abide by international law. That was it. What they failed to do was put this situation in context, which is our Palestinians' destiny over 75 years of having our story shadowed, having our story shut down by Israel and by its supporters. So the government failed to say this retaliation from Hamas came under the illegal and brutal occupation of Palestine for 50 years and an illegal siege of Gaza over the last 16 years. So the government has played a very poor card. It's shown itself so far to not be erring on the side of caution, to not be looking at the moral and the contextual arguments behind this massacre, and it has sided very clearly with the US and with Israel in this war, which has put New Zealand's reputation completely at stake. It has stained and tarnished it forever. And the question rises, to what end? What will New Zealand gain from doing this? And the answers are not forthcoming from our government. So there's some real issues. We're asking the government to call for a ceasefire. Now that there is a case in the ICJ, and we certainly hope that genocide, it is genocide, the world knows it's genocide, that genocide will be called out, the government's going to find itself in an extremely embarrassing situation for remaining silent, for not following its obligations, and for not standing by the truth, humanity, and the international law that keeps us all safe.
How can the public learn more about your cause and contribute?
There are many Palestinian organisations around New Zealand that you can become part of. We're all around New Zealand, from Nelson to Christchurch to Auckland, even Palmerston North and Wellington. If you go on to the websites of some of these organisations, Palestinian Youth Aotearoa, for example, you will find plenty of information. And there are rallies happening constantly at the moment in New Zealand. So what we're suggesting at this point is, because the world, if you look at your social media, because unfortunately the Western media has not been unbiased, it's been extremely pro-Israel, it has not shown the Palestinian voice, and unfortunately New Zealand's media is complicit in this. Even recently, Radio New Zealand hosted, and we're actually going to investigate this because we see this as quite a serious breach of Media Council guidelines. So it had an interview with a supposed New Zealand soldier in Gaza, and they presented this interview as fact. In fact, it was an opinion of a soldier who, if we are correct and we're trying to find out where the soldier is from, is based in an area of Israel that is a settlement, it's a settler area. So you can imagine what his background is in regards to the Palestinians. And the things he said on this interview were really concerning. Radio New Zealand was very sympathetic with him and didn't, after this interview, have any Palestinian on. And many of the Palestinians in New Zealand have family or have had direct contact with what is going on. They haven't been invited on. Not only this, but if the ICJ does go ahead and call what Israel is doing genocide, then we will be seeking to prosecute this supposed New Zealander in Gaza for committing genocide. And Radio New Zealand is going to be involved in this, and they are going to have a lot to answer for. So there is plenty of things that you can do. One of the things in fighting against the lack of media awareness around the issue is to go online. Now, there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation on both sides in regards to the Palestinians and the Israelis. But if you keep sifting through, there's, you know, Al Jazeera's amazing site, Middle East Eye. If you keep sifting through, you will find media that is current, that is not biased, and that gives you a greater understanding of what is going on. And what we need to do is boycott, boycott, boycott. So our government's not listening, and we as a people need to stand up as the masses and make this change. And to do that, use your wallets. It's very, very easy. Supermarket shops can be tailored towards more New Zealand goods, which help New Zealand, rather than supporting US or Israeli goods. Many Israeli goods are made in the occupied Palestinian territories, and so they themselves we consider to be immoral and completely unjust. So we're asking New Zealand to come out to the rallies and the marches, support a better future for all of us internationally, and make sure that we don't diminish the power of the international law by being unbiased and saying, well, we'll use the law for some people, and then not for others. And of course, we're all quite concerned about this current government because it is a coalition and because some of the ministers are extremely new. Do they have the capability, and do they have the experience to actually do their job correctly? So we as a community met with the government last year on numerous occasions, and Hipkins began this conversation, and Luxon is continuing this conversation in designating the entirety of Hamas as a terrorist organization. And we're waiting to see whether that will go ahead, and it's extremely problematic within this current context. So they're basing this designation on what occurred on October the 7th. And there's a couple of issues here, if you don't mind me explaining just quickly what they are. So America, the UK, New Zealand, Australia have gone on and on about international law. Israel's got the right to its self-defense under international law, blah, 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 So let's use international law properly. Under the law of armed conflict, when there is a continuation or there is a war that is taking place, any aggression or act is a crime against humanity. It cannot be called a terrorist act. Now, the war between Israel and Palestine, and I'm saying it's not Hamas because it isn't Hamas. It's always been about us. Currently in the West Bank, Palestinians are being massacred. There is no Hamas in the West Bank. My family has been killed. We are not Hamas. So there is a war. Israel is waging a war against the Palestinian population to ethnically cleanse them and expand its borders. So when you're talking about international law, because Hamas perpetrated this horrific act, it is not considered a terrorist act under law. And yet the government's claiming that because of this terrorist act, they need to do further designations. Now, we also know that on October the 7th, the waters have been muddied. Israel has, and the Israel military as well as the police, have come forth and they've acknowledged the fact that they killed their civilians. We've seen Apache helicopter footage. We've also seen footage and the admission by the military that they did shell their houses in the kibbutz. We've also had survivors from the kibbutz massacre that said that they saw Israeli crossfire kill the majority of the civilians. And this includes 200 Hamas fighters burnt to a crisp. So until there is a formal investigation, and we as the Palestinian community fully support a formal investigation into the events on October the 7th to exactly decide what happened, who was killed by whom, then the government is jumping the gun and it is not acting responsibly. And it will be the only government in the world to designate a terrorist organization during this continuing conflict. So there's a lot of concerns that we have with the way New Zealand is moving, with its decision to align itself very strongly with the US and the UK during this time where conflict and future conflict and world conflict is on the horizon. And instead of looking towards a political solution, not just for Palestine, but for the world, this current right-wing government is hell-bent on using military force to try and resolve a situation in favor of Western powers. And that's not what New Zealand and New Zealand's history has been, especially with apartheid in South Africa. We have been and we have a name of being a country that upholds the moral good, of being an extremely even, unbiased country that the world looks to when decisions are made. And that has been damaged irreparably just in this last few months with this new government and with decisions that are being made. I mean, in saying that, in regards politically, we've had a shocking few years with politics as a whole, which was demonstrated by only one in four New Zealanders not coming to vote because of their disgust and their feeling concerned about who on earth should we vote for, because no one is actually representing us as a people and doing the right thing. So boycott Israeli goods, easy to find out. Look at the BDS website, boycott, divest, sanction website. Actually make your mark and stand up for the right side of history and make sure that we don't continue for our children and our grandchildren a world where fear and death is the answer to everything. This campaign of US and UK and Israel is completely insane. And New Zealand wanting to jump on the back of this and now looking at sending troops and representatives to Yemen is ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous. As a nation, New Zealand should be looking at distancing itself and perhaps aligning itself more with the Scandinavian countries and looking at a different future for us. As the world begins to divide more and more, we should be, as a small, isolated country that doesn't have a huge defense force, looking at securing our individual future away from the powers that want to initiate war and death over money. And they're all very corrupt.
That was member of the Palestinian community, Katrina Mitchell-Kotab, talking to me about her petition calling for the government to support Palestine.
Wow, important stuff.
That was Get Action on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.